Cruising right along on a Thursday afternoon. It's Bullseye on the afternoon with yours truly, Andy Bulbarch, and my tag team partner, Matt Douglas. And joining us now is a man that I called my tag team partner many, many moons ago when we were the Sports Outsiders at a student station in Bowling Green. And now you can hear him if you're listening to Columbus Clippers games. You can hear him pre, post, and during intermissions during Columbus Blue Jacket games as well. He is Ryan Mitchell. Ryan, thanks for giving us some of your time. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. That were many, many moons ago indeed over at West Hall. And, I was really, really excited to hear that you guys were going on the air there on WOL, the sports talk show, in the afternoon. And it's my pleasure to be with you.
Well, let's dive right in to this Blue Jacket discussion. Yesterday was a big day, trading deadline. Blue Jackets brought in a winger and a defender. Tell us all about it.
Well, they did. These aren't huge meter-moving moves, but that was by design because the Blue Jackets really like the group that they have. And giving up Dalton Prout was something that hurt, not because he was playing all that much. He hasn't been playing very much, but the kind of person that he was, parting company with a Dalton Prout, really stings. But you bring in some guys that are veterans, Kyle Quincy on the back end, 31 years of age. It's a guy that's going to provide some veteran leadership because the blue line for the Blue Jackets is very, very young. Seth Jones has been around the league for a few years now, but he's still in his early 20s. Zach Werenski is still a teenager. And by the way, Ryan Murray is still very, very young as well. So there are a couple of veterans, David Savard and Jack Johnson there, and Marcus Nudavara is a young guy as well. But bringing in a guy like Quincy kind of solidifies the veteran presence on the blue line. Lori Korpikoski is a forward that's 30 years of age. So he's going to slot in there and maybe add some more stability. They gave up a young defenseman, Dylan Hetherington, for him to Dallas. So they weren't huge moves for the Blue Jackets, but again, that was by design. I don't think they really had a whole lot of interest in overpaying for a guy like Duchesne from Colorado that was going to cost a lot in draft picks, probably NHL-ready talent and some prospects, because they really think that this is a team that's going to contend not just this year, but in the long term. As this young group continues to mature, they are going to bloom into something that the front office thinks is really going to be something special. And, oh, by the way, they're doing this in a metropolitan division that is clearly the best in the NHL this year.
Without a doubt. I wanted to get your opinion of the trade there. Kyle Quincy and Dalton Prout, Ryan. When you look at that as a Blue Jackets fan, I mean, Dalton Prout was one of the fan favorites. He was that guy who stood up for everybody on the team. But it seems like Josh Anderson has sort of taken over that role for the Columbus Blue Jackets now, and he's a guy who can put it in the back of the net as well. Does it seem like this was more of a way to get Dalton Prout onto the ice in the NHL, kind of owed to him to bring Kyle Quincy in and make that move?
Ode, I don't know if I would go that far. They're very happy that he's going someplace where he probably is going to get some more playing time. But the Dalton Prouts of the world, and let's not paint him with too broad a brush here, because even though he's a guy that can go out there and he can mix it up, and he is, I guess, in this day and age, is NHL what you would call an enforcer, those guys are finding it harder and harder to find ice time because the game has gone away from that. We've seen for the Blue Jackets alone at least three times this year where the officials have stepped in and stopped a fight where both combatants had agreed to drop the gloves and go at it, and the referees have gotten in the middle of it and stopped it before it started. So the NHL, while they're not outlawing fighting, clearly is going away from that. And with that, it's hard to justify a roster spot for a guy that isn't performing in a way other than that. And you mentioned Josh Anderson. He's a guy that can do a lot of those things. He's had a couple of scraps this year, and he will definitely stand up for his teammates, and he'll go do those dirty parts of the game in the corners and stand up for who needs to be stood up for. But as you also mentioned, he can also put it in the net. Had two goals in a game the other day on a nice turnover snapshot that found the upper part of the net. So he's got skill, he's got speed, he's got a lot of size. And when it comes to scrapping, he'll do that. So do they feel like they owe Dalton Prout the ability to go play somewhere else in the NHL? I mean, this is big boy hockey. This is business. You don't make moves based upon that. You try and improve your team. And I think that they feel that Quincy improves the team in the way that they need it improved this year. Now, is he going to be in there every day? I don't know. They're going to have to mix and match more often, I think, with these lines and who is going to be a healthy scratch for the game. Right now, they're dealing with injuries. A couple of forwards are out with oblique injuries, so some of that playing time is taking care of itself. But when everybody gets healthy, this all of a sudden becomes a team where guys that would normally be starting for an NHL team are going to have to sit out on a night-to-night basis.
You mentioned the other trade in Cort Bukowski coming over from Dallas. That's a guy who used to play with Torts back in his days in New York. Was that part of the big trade there? Another guy like Dubinsky who's played under John Tortorella, understands that system and can kind of get those young guys, not to say they need to buy in. I think they're at that point already in this season, but just somebody else to lend a helping hand.
Yeah, man, I think you know these guys pretty well. I know you follow this pretty close, and they have definitely bought in. So I think that they felt like they maybe needed just a little bit more up front. And with dealing with a couple of injuries, you've got Matt Calvert, who's kind of a heart and soul guy, does everything, a great penalty killer. He's got an oblique injury. Lucas Sedlak, the young centerman, has an oblique injury as well. And those things can really be tricky in how long they take to heal up. So maybe this is some insurance against that. William Karlsson is a huge factor on the penalty kill. He didn't play the other day against Montreal. He had to go home with illness. So I don't know if it was necessarily to try and guard against that, but clearly trying to get some depth on those forward lines is why you bring in a guy like Cort Bukowski. Is he a part of the future plans? Who knows? At 30 years of age, clearly there's still some gas left in the tank. But again, this is a season for the Blue Jackets and really the entire NHL with the expansion draft coming up. It made it a different sort of trade deadline day. Jarmo Kekäläinen talked about the fact that you have to protect things differently with the expansion draft coming up. So maybe some of those contracts that are expiring at the end of this year, maybe that makes a little bit more sense to overpay a little bit for a rental guy as opposed to a contract that you then have to protect after the season.
Staying with the topic of the trade deadline as we speak with Ryan Mitchell here at the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network. I wanted to ask you about the rest of the Metropolitan. You pointed out, look, this is the toughest league in the NHL for any NHL fan out there who's watching it. And you got the Washington Capitals at the top. They made a big trade bringing Kevin Shattenkirk. In your opinion, in the Metropolitan, who becomes that scary team because of the trade deadline and the moves they made?
Well, it's Washington, and you can't overlook Pittsburgh. The problem with Pittsburgh right now is they're not healthy, and they've had injuries. You know, in three head-to-head games with the Blue Jackets so far this year, Pittsburgh has been without a big cog in every single one of them. When they get fully healthy, and based upon the injuries that they have before the end of the season, they probably will be. You know, they've got the best player in the world in Sidney Crosby. Evgeny Malkin is right there in the conversation for a top five player. So you get two of those guys on the same team and some of the other pieces that they have on that roster. I mean, it's scary. It really is. With the Washington Capitals, the thing that you always keep coming back to is they have not been able to get it done in the Ovechkin years in the playoffs. President's trophies time after time, but again, it's a first or second round bounce from the playoffs. But Shattenkirk really adds a lot to what they can do with their special teams. I think, you know, they've got 91 points right now, far and away the most in the NHL. They're 7 points up on both Columbus and Pittsburgh in the Metropolitan Division. So it looks like they are probably going to hold on and maybe win the President's Trophy again. But that doesn't mean anything until you get to those postseason rounds. Henrik Lundqvist for the Rangers hasn't played his best, but he's still one of the best goaltenders in the world. And the Rangers, I think, have overachieved a little bit. Right now, they're the top wild card team. So if you're talking about in the Eastern Conference, you're probably better off if you're in the Metropolitan Division going into the playoffs as the wild card team rather than one of the top three, because that first wild card team in all likelihood is going to go over into the Atlantic Division where you play the first two rounds. Mm-hmm. They'd have to go through probably Montreal in the first round, but the Jackets have gone 2-1 against Montreal this year. Carey Price, boy, what a game that was the other night between Carey Price and Sergei Bobrovsky, was scoreless going into overtime, a terrible call, put Montreal on the power play, and ultimately they wound up winning it. But both goaltenders had world-class saves. So if that's a seven-game series for the Jackets in the first round, that's worth the price of admission alone. But that's probably the easier path, is to get out of the Metropolitan Division, so you only have to beat one of those teams instead of probably having to beat three of them to get to the Stanley Cup Finals.
I'm just curious, Ryan, do you think that's being noted by coaches there in the Metropolitan? Is anyone thinking?
Of course it is. Now, they're obviously not going to go out there and purposely tank games, but they're well aware that, and listen, with Price and goal, Montreal's dangerous. Sure. They started off very, very well. They've cooled off. Last year they had, once Price went down, an absolute implosion. But also, look at Boston's a dangerous team. Let's not forget about the Boston Bruins, because they've got, with Bergeron and Marchand and what they can do in net as well, they really are a dangerous team if they get in a series. But I think that's the easier route, and I think coaches are well aware they're not going to feel too bad if they wind up in that fourth spot in the Metro instead of the third.
We're talking with Ryan Mitchell of the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network. 6 weeks left in this hockey season, thereabouts, maybe a little bit less than that. The Jackets are in action tonight, taking on Minnesota at 7 o'clock. Give us a preview of this contest.
Well, this was a game, you think back to New Year's Eve, and these two teams went at it in Minnesota. The Wild had a 12-game winning streak. The Jackets had a 14-game winning streak going, and that place, I don't know if I had heard a louder building than in the first period of that game. And the Jackets came away with a 4-2 win. Now, Minnesota has made a couple of changes as well at the trading deadline. Yeah. They got better, but even though they're getting better, they're also getting worse, because the team had a mumps outbreak, if you can believe that, in 2017. It's the second time in the last 3 years that they've had mumps run through the dressing room. So they're not at full strength. It might be a decent time for the Jackets to be taking them on, unless, of course, those mumps come across the ice and then Columbus gets hit with it, which obviously would be a terrible, terrible thing. But, they have, and both these teams came in the league in the same year, so there's a bit of synergy there. Minnesota leads the Central Division, 88 points. It's the most in the Western Conference. They have been really, really good. And, of course, that city in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, they love that team, and they are super fired up for tonight. And the Jackets are as well. Columbus seems to have played its best hockey against the best opponents. They've played up to the level of the opposition, and at times they have played down to the level of some of the lesser opposition and have lost games that on paper they should have won. So tonight should be a good one at Nationwide Arena.
Ryan, last question for you. I know Torts was talking about how he addressed the state of this team after the trade deadline. Has there been any word yet from him on that?
No, he just talked to the media a little while ago, and I haven't been able to get anything from that. But he really likes the team that he has right now. He likes the group. Everybody is kind of pulling the rope in the same direction. There have been fits and starts with that throughout the season, but you go back to the preseason when he was running these guys through conditioning and conditioning and conditioning, and there really wasn't a whole lot of time to work on the systems and things like that in preseason, and so the preseason results were ugly. But the results of that, getting everybody on the same page, how to work, how to be a professional, has molded them into a group that I think he is very proud to have with him. It's the group, I think, that he wanted to have post-trade deadline. I mean, would you love to add a huge piece? Of course. But knowing what you have to give up, I think he really likes the additions they have made internally. Oliver Bjorkstrand coming from Cleveland to Columbus and really stepping up and doing good things. I think he and the entire front office are very happy with the team they have going down the stretch.
Blue Jackets are at home tonight at 7 o'clock. Over the weekend, 7 o'clock, they are in Ottawa on Saturday. Then on Sunday, they are on the road again against New Jersey at 5. Ryan Mitchell, the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network, joining us. Ryan, we appreciate the time very much. We'll be calling on you not only throughout the course of the remainder of the hockey season and into the playoffs, but when those Columbus Clippers get going in the summer, we'll be calling on you then as well, my friend.
Oh, I can't wait for the baseball weather. You guys be good.
All right, Ryan, thanks again for your time. As always, certainly appreciate it. Time for us to step aside and take a break. We've got more coming your way after this as Bullseye on the Afternoon rolls on.